So when I was 12 years old, this is the time when my dad was transitioning out of my life. But I remember sitting in the baptismal and just there are all these people at this church. And I looked and I like saw all these people. My mom, my sister were there, and I was getting ready to get baptized. And it was one of those times in life where you know, like, something's about ready to change. I'm going to get baptized. This is like commitment. They're going to hold me under this water for a period of time. I'm going to come back up and something's going to be different. And when I was meeting with, I think it was the youth pastor, some people, and we're talking about Jesus and I wanted to believe in him and follow him. They kept asking me, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? It's almost like they were like in my space where I was doing there, like convincing me like, no, you shouldn't do this. Like you're going to give up your whole life. And I was like, I'm in, like, I want Jesus. And then they said, all right, you got to get baptized. And I was like, let's do it. So I remember I got baptized, and that was a turning point in my life, in my relationship with Jesus. Because when you get baptized, like it's an all in, like you are fully committing and you are moving forward, and you're not coming back. Because when you go into the water, you're dying to your own life with Jesus, and you're being raised to new life with him. And you know, flash forward many years. So just actually last year, I was doing some premarital counseling with a couple. And the guy wanted to get baptized before he got married. And so we went through our baptismal discipleship and really studied the word like deeply. And what does the Bible say about baptism? And then from there, I was like, hey man, when you get baptized, like bring all your family and friends, like invite them all. And then share with them, like, why are you getting baptized? Like, why Jesus? And he was like, I'd share that? I'm like, yeah, man, this is a perfect opportunity to share the gospel to you who don't know Jesus. So we went to his apartment complex in this pool. And there were like 30 people there, and there were all these like young people, like teens and stuff, that were like kind of making fun, like filming and things like that. And he was like, "Oh, did you?" I was like, "Yeah, dude, you're gonna get to witness Jesus to all these people." So he shared how Jesus changed his life, and he shared the gospel. Mm-hmm. He got baptized, and a bunch of people there didn't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so baptism is this really powerful turning point personally for us in our relationship with Jesus. And then it's also a great witness for people that don't know him, because most of us have non-Christians in our lives, people who don't know Jesus. So when you get baptized, invite them out, right? And they get to hear about Jesus. So baptism is super powerful. It's a time and turning point in our lives when we follow Jesus, where everything changes moving forward. And we're going to discover what that means for us, either if we haven't been baptized or if we have been baptized. And this is going to take maybe a little bit different approach than you think. So get ready. If you have your Bibles with you, open up to John chapter 4. We'll look at verses 1 through 3. And if you don't have a paper Bible, we'll get some of those handed out right now for you. So as you read the scriptures now, take a few minutes and ask yourself these questions. What am I learning about Jesus? What am I learning about people? And how does this apply to my life? So as you read it, what am I learning about Jesus, people, and how does this apply to my life? So it's just a few simple verses, but there is a huge implication for our lives. So how many of you have ever baptized someone before? How many of you would love to baptize someone someday? All right, Elliot, yeah, love it, so good. Now you're going to see what's going on in these scriptures, right? So this idea of baptism fits into our 10 conditions that Jesus has given us as a church to be a Mark 4:20 church, so a 30, 60, 100-fold church. And one of the conditions is pray for baptisms. So praying for baptisms that people who come to know Jesus through Enriched Church would want to get baptized and follow through on what Jesus wants to do, being obedient to the Word of God. And we'll see why baptism is so important as we move forward. So jump into verse 1 here. It says, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. So first we see here, we got jealousy going on, right? So it looks like Jesus is becoming a superstar and all the other people aren't baptizing as much as he did. And you see the talks about John in here, so disciples of John. So people were originally going to John first to get baptized in the river. And when John was baptizing people, he was baptizing them for the baptism of repentance. Mm. So Jesus hadn't come on the scene yet, like we would know him later on in the Gospels or now today. So Jesus wasn't really there, but John was preparing the way for Jesus, preparing the way for the Messiah. So John was baptizing all these people, but it's for the baptism of repentance. So people turning from their sin and turning to God. So John's role was to prepare the way for Jesus, for what he was going to do. And so even though John's ministry was growing, John said, I got to step aside for Jesus to increase and for me to decrease, that Jesus can surpass what he wants to do. And so when we look here at Jesus and his disciples baptizing people, and you go, although it says Jesus wasn't baptizing them, Jesus was, you know, running the show there with baptizing, it was still this baptism of repentance. But then when we come to know Jesus today, we begin to learn, well, what does baptism mean for us today after this baptism of John and the baptism of repentance? So I want you to flip over into your Bibles into Romans chapter 6. So this is the baptism of believing in Jesus. So Romans chapter 6. If you're not sure where that's at, your table of contents in the front will tell you where Romans starts. And you could jump in there. So Romans 6, and we'll look at verses 1 through 4. So Romans 6, 1 through 4. All right, it says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more grace and more grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. So focus on verse 3 there. It says this, or have you forgotten when you were baptized, or when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, you were joined in his death? So when you're baptized and you go under the water right there, so the word is talking about this immersion underwater, you're actually dying and identifying with Jesus in his death. And when you're raised out of the water, you're identifying with him in his resurrection and new life. So this is super powerful because this is the time when your relationship with Jesus changes forever. How many of y'all are married here? How many of y'all want to get married one day? All right, so y'all will imagine this. You've seen it. Imagine on your wedding day, or you see people up there, and they put the ring on their finger. You know, once the ring is on their finger, this is a sealed deal, right? The covenant has been made. The agreement has been made. When you have your baptism, it's just like this. It's like a ring being put on your finger with Jesus. You're sealing the deal. You're saying, I'm all in. This is the covenant I am making with Jesus. So your baptism is like kind of like your wedding day. It's when you put your ring on your finger, and that ring God intends stays on for your entire life. So there, I really believe, I come to understand this more, I study the scriptures and baptize some people. There's actually a spiritual transaction that takes place when you get baptized. There's a spiritual transaction that takes place when you get baptized. When you look at the scriptures in Romans 6, you're going under the water, dying with Jesus, you're coming out and being raised with new life. So there's a spiritual transaction that takes place inside of you that otherwise won't take place unless you get baptized. And that is what the scriptures are talking about in Romans chapter 6. So baptism does not save. If you get baptized, it doesn't save you at all. Because you can put a bunch of people underwater and bring them out, but that doesn't save them, right? Who saves is Jesus. It's what he did through his life, his death, and his resurrection. And believing in that and receiving it is what saves us. So baptism is an important part of our discipleship. It's actually, Jesus calls us to get baptized. It's part of our obedience and our commitment to him. And as we continue to talk about discipleship here at Enrich Church, this really simple definition of discipleship is simply this: commitment and obedience to Jesus. So we talk about discipleship, it's deepening your commitment to Jesus and deepening your obedience to him. And I can guarantee you this, that never ends. Your commitment, he'll always call you to greater commitment. He'll always call you to sacrifice more and more and more. He'll always call you to greater depths of obedience to him. And if you think, oh man, I'm arrived, I'm committed, I'm obedient, just be really careful, because that's pride. Because if you think you've arrived, you won't be hungry for more. Because the more you're on your face before him in his presence, the more he's going to show you that you need to sacrifice in your life to live for him. Because the goal of this, what Jesus wants to do, is your baptism. It says if you're dead to yourself and the world and all this stuff, and dying with Jesus, being raised to new life, this means that you should be fully dead to the world. Like fully dead to the world and living only for Jesus. Because you have to get this by revelation that you have one life. This is it. And then we're done. And we're before the judgment seat, and our whole lives will be judged of how we live. Could you imagine how many people are going to be before Jesus have lived Netflix Christianity? And like, I know it sounds funny, but like most American Christians live Netflix Christianity. They say they're Christians and they watch Netflix, they binge all this stuff, social media, they're never in their word, they're never fasting, never praying, they're never sharing their faith with people, they're not making disciples, they're not baptizing people. Literally everything they named at the end is what the scriptures say to do. That's exactly what we're supposed to live for. So it's discipleship first, right? Your commitment and your obedience to Jesus, and then your family, and then your employment that God calls you to, whatever that is, right? The call in your life. You could be stay-at-home mom. You can work, you know, with cars. You could work in restaurants and music. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can work anywhere. And from that is actually your platform for the gospel. So wherever God has placed you for your employment is your platform for the gospel. And your role then is to actually get all those people saved. Get them all to come to know Jesus. And that's why we emphasize fasting here so much at Enriched Church. And I can almost guarantee you pretty much, you will not see people get saved through your life of sharing the gospel if you're not fasting. Because salvation requires this explosive power of the Holy Spirit. And the way you access that is humbling yourself through prayer and fasting and seeking His face and living it out. So the way I got the fire and the zeal that God has given me is I got on my face. And I've logged so many hours, as days, months, and months and months of hours on my face before Him and just seeking Him in prayer and fasting and crying out for breakthrough. So now wherever I go, I could look in a like in a store I'm there, and I can see exactly who Jesus wants me to go and talk to. And I'm usually right every time. And even if they don't want to talk to me, Jesus is still sending me to them to give them a chance to hear the gospel, because nobody else probably has ever gone to them. So this is our normal as following Jesus. Let's look at one more verse that I want to hit home with us here. Flip over to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. So Matthew 28, 18 through 20.
Matthew?
Yeah, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. This is also known as the Great Commission. It says this, so Jesus came to His disciples, and He says this, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Did you notice that who was supposed to baptize people? Anyone catch on to that? Who is it?
We are.
Yeah, the disciples. It's all of you. It's all of us. So what are the qualifications to baptize someone? This isn't a trick question.
Being Jesus' disciple.
Yeah, being a disciple of Jesus, right? So you believed in Him and you've been baptized yourself, and then you're commissioned to go and baptize and to teach people to obey everything that Jesus has taught us. So you don't need to be ordained or a pastor. And if you hear that in churches, it's actually not biblical. It says the people of God, the disciples, are the ones supposed to be baptizing other people. So let's see what Jesus has to say about it, or what He demonstrates for us in verse 2 of John chapter 4. Though Jesus Himself didn't baptize them, His disciples did. So did you notice that? Is that Jesus wasn't actually baptizing, it was His disciples who were baptizing. So if you imagine this, like Jesus is probably hanging out in the shade there and just watching everything, and He's like, I've empowered the disciples to go and to baptize. Because they're all coming to get baptized, they're coming to Jesus, and He's empowered His disciples to do it. So here's my goal. My goal is to baptize as amount of people as possible. My goal is to not really baptize anyone. My goal is to see all of you baptize people. And my hope is that one day I get these pictures from y'all and a text message saying, hey, I just baptized my friend in this pool. He just came to Christ, and so we baptized him right there. That's the goal of this thing, is that everyone is empowered. This thing is decentralized, just like Jesus did in His model here. So Jesus' model and approach is to empower all of His disciples to go and to baptize. And so you literally have a mandate from Jesus to baptize people. You don't need a pastor's permission to do that at all. Like, you don't need pastor's permission to disciple anyone, to baptize anyone, anything. Jesus has already given all of you and all of us permission to do this. This literally is why we exist, is to make disciples. And sometimes that's a hard turn, right? Because our culture has such a pull, right? The word comfort, I want a comfortable life. The word comfortable is an enemy of the cross. Because if you want to be comfortable, you're never going to share the gospel. That's uncomfortable. To go up to someone and share Jesus with them, to get turned down, have your family or friends hate you or deny you, right? But Jesus says, you go and you share me with people no matter the cost. And there's always people who are hungry. Everywhere. So that I started discovered Bible study this past week with a guy who doesn't know Jesus at a coffee shop, and we studied John chapter 3 and with Nicodemus. And it was the coolest thing because he's not a believer, but reading John chapter 3, he articulated the gospel in his own words from the scriptures. And I was like, oh man, you're getting so close. But I didn't force him or anything. I just want him to read it, and the Holy Spirit will minister him with the word. There's people who are hungry everywhere that are just waiting for someone to say, hey, will you tell me about Jesus? What's the hope that you have? Will you study the scriptures with me? Will you lead me? Will you show me the way? Capital W, right? Well, here's the idea. If you lead somebody to Jesus, which we're all training to do that, you get to baptize them. So if you lead someone to Jesus, don't bring them to me to get baptized. I want you to baptize them. We can arrange it here at the park, or we have a contact now with a person who has a pool who's just a few minutes walk. Like, we'll arrange it. But the idea is if you lead someone to Jesus, you lead them to baptism, and you get to disciple them as you grow with them and teach them the importance of baptism. So imagine this. A bunch of you raise your hands and you've never baptized someone before. Now picture yourself, probably with a pair, right? I always like to do it in pairs because you do it in teams, baptizing someone for the first time. I mean, could you imagine like that was one of your family members or like one of your best friends, your coworkers, your neighbor? Like, wouldn't that be just one of the craziest, coolest things? Is like you got to baptize them. It's so powerful. When I get to baptize people, like, it for me, it's one of the most like sacred moments, because you are getting to help them enter into that covenant relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Like, you get to do it. That is one of the craziest things that we get invited into. So now you imagine you baptizing your first person. Now imagine hundreds and thousands of people ultimately getting baptized through Enriched Church, which is the people of God, right? As this thing spreads, as people make disciples, start these discovery Bible studies, the idea is that when you start a discovery Bible study, you're training everybody in that discovery Bible study to start their own discovery Bible study. Do you see how this thing will start building out to where it's like third, fourth, fifth generation? I'll have no idea who these people are in these discovery Bible studies, but you will, and you'll be discipling them, disciple down the line. And how many people are they going to be baptizing? It's going to be super powerful. So that's how this thing will exponentially increase to hundreds and thousands of people getting baptized through the work of your ministry. So we have to ask this question. How does this apply to our life? One of the things we got to do is we got to pray for baptisms. I have seen that there is a spiritual war that keeps new believers from getting baptized, because Satan does not want new believers to get baptized. Because remember that spiritual transaction that takes place? So you got to be praying for the people that you lead to Jesus, that Satan will be removed from their life in this way, and they'll have that revelation understanding of their need for baptism. Because Satan wants to stop people from getting baptized, and he wants to stop you from getting baptized. Now, how many of you here this morning is the first time that you've heard that you get to baptize people? Anyone ever heard that before? You might have heard it from me. Oh, yeah, that's surprising. But what was even more surprising, most of you haven't done it yet. But Jesus wants you to do it. This is literally the call he has on your life. So thinking about next steps, how does this apply to you? So if you've led someone to Christ yourself, the next step is to talk with them about baptism and explain from your own story, like, why did you get baptized? What's the importance of it? Why should they get baptized? Or if you're a new believer, you've been a believer a while and you haven't gotten baptized, we would love to get you baptized here at Enriched Church and walk you through that. So I have something for you. Let me grab it. So right here I have this this baptism discipleship. This is literally just an in-depth Bible study on baptism. So some of you have done this before, but some of those people here that have done it, y'all have led people to Christ, and now it's time to disciple them in baptism. So I'm going to pass this around. You at least take one, right? At least one for your own study, so you could do a deep study on baptism, so you can explain to people why they need to get baptized. And as you read through this, so interesting is that the biblical model of baptism is immediately they got baptized. It was like they came to believe and they immediately got baptized. So how do we bridge that as a church? Like, you lead someone to Christ, then you get them baptized like real quick. Because often there's this gap in the North American church of people get baptized after a long time. But you'll see when you study this. So you could take one, or at least take one, take more. But the idea is if you take more, you'll disciple someone who isn't yet baptized who's a believer, and you can walk them through and literally do it like a discovery Bible study, where you have them, you know, read the scriptures and answer the question, and then at the end just say, hey, what do you want to do in response to the scriptures? And the Holy Spirit will be ministering to them. So I'll put up a PDF on our website under the message part there with this message, so that you can have this PDF at any point. You could print it out and you can take it. But I'd encourage you this week, take some time to do this Bible study on baptism, this baptism discipleship, to understand what does the scripture say about baptism, why should I get baptized, and then what happens to me after getting baptized. So take 30 seconds to do this. What are your next steps? What are you practically going to do this week to apply the scriptures you learned today? So write that down either on your phone, your notebook, or if you're one of those super geniuses and you can remember everything, like write it on the notebook of your mind. So take 30 seconds, and then after you write that down, share that with the person next to you of what you're going to do in response to what you've heard today from God's word. When you're doing this to someone, and they're like, I want to get baptized right now, baptize them. Like, you don't need to bring them here on Sunday morning. You don't need to arrange it with me. Like, you can get them baptized. That's what the scriptures say. Because in Acts chapter 8, if you want to read this one, Acts chapter 8, there's Philip and this Ethiopian guy, and they're in the chariot, and Philip, led by the Spirit, and an angel goes and shares the gospel with them through the scriptures. And then the Ethiopian's like, hey, what's going to stop me from getting baptized? There's some water. And then they hop out of the chariot, and he baptizes them right there. And so you could baptize people. I'd love just to hear you come here one day. You're like, hey, I baptized my, you know, fill in the blank. And that would be super powerful. Make sure you get a photo, because it would be fun for them to have that photo of them getting baptized. Do a selfie. Do one-handed baptism with a selfie. Okay. Wow. Oh, he's got two smiles. Oh, my gosh. So my hope is that you all are catching the vision that you are called to make disciples. Like, literally, this is Jesus has passed it on to you and empowered you to share him with other people and to baptize them and to teach them to obey everything he's commanded us. So my role is simply to equip and to train and to empower and say, you can do it. So based on that, we're going to have Phoebe come up, and she's going to share about Jesus. So she's going to take a few moments to share how Jesus has changed her life and share the gospel with us. So let's welcome up Phoebe.
Hey guys, I'm Phoebe. I'm the new face here. It's been about like a month or so that I've been at Enrich, but y'all have been so, just such an encouragement to me, even in the little time I've been here. And yeah, I just pray right now that the story God has written in my life would somehow encourage you guys today. So I was born in the church and had a goody-two-shoes personality growing up, and so it was actually really hard for me to admit that I was a sinner. You know, I would say, yes, I'm a sinner, but inside I really didn't believe it. Fast forward to middle high school, got exposed from my classmates to like reading and watching sexually explicit things online, and then got sucked into that and very quickly found out, oh, I'm a sinner, and I really don't have what it takes to say no to this. But at the same time, I was like really anxious about protecting my reputation, and so I couldn't tell anyone that I was involved in this addiction. It quickly became an addiction, and lasted for a few years, and then Holy Spirit was like, you need to confess this to people and be forgiven and be transformed. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna confess. And it was a whole process. It was probably the bravest thing I've ever done. But I wrote down this whole word document and confessed to my parents that night after hearing a sermon at the pulpit that Sunday morning. Confessed it all to them. They were like, showed me so much grace. They were like, been there, done that. But they didn't really know how to hold me accountable. And so after a few months, I fell back into this sin. And it wasn't until my freshman year of college during COVID that, again, I was like convicted. I really need to get rid of this once and for all. And so again, like wrote down a whole thing. And at that time, the passage that really spoke to me was James 5:16, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Because there'd been so many nights when I'd confessed my sin to the Lord and was like, God, clean me, forgive me, heal me. And I believe he heard those prayers, but I think in his grace, he wanted to surround me with community and like help me to live a more transparent life around my brothers and sisters. And so in his grace, it took like confessing that to a mentor and then her holding me accountable that he really did free me from that. And so it's been about 6 years now, praise God, that I've been completely free of this, and I've just seen so much transformation. Since then, there was like a time 2-3 years ago when I was in Taiwan, ended up there for an extra month that I wasn't planning for, couldn't understand why, but God actually used that month and just like saturating me in scripture of what Jesus did for me on the cross to show me like God loves me. That's when I really understood the gospel, which is that Jesus came, lived the life I could not live, died for me so that all of my sins are forgiven, and then rose again and promises me new life and a hope and a future. And from that month of just saturating in scripture, I feel like he's just launched me for the past 2 years on this journey I couldn't have imagined, where I came home, he like really showed me my identity as his daughter. He showed me his calling for my life. Like, I think he wants to send me back to Asia at some point, to Mandarin-speaking Asia. And yeah, and then like while I've been here, he's just showed me community that has really been heavy on discipling other people and being a witness right where I'm at. And so I feel like it's been a huge training ground, even at my, you know, 9-to-5 job, living with my family, living in my hometown in Arcadia. He's like training me how to be a missionary right where I'm at before I go anywhere overseas again. And yeah, I'm excited for what's next. I don't know what's next, but you guys are a part of that, I think, and I already see so much growth since joining you guys. Yeah, I guess a little bit more background on, like, I'm also part of another house church in Arcadia with Ethan and Jen, who you guys have probably seen around. And, yeah, but, like, it's been a huge encouragement to get more discipleship from Enrich and to have more vision of where we're going next and what God is doing. But yeah, all to say, I do want to extend an invitation to anyone here who hasn't made that decision yourself to make Jesus the king of your life. If that is you today, yeah, I just invite you in your own heart to decide whether you want to say yes to him. Feel free to come up for prayer afterwards. You can ask me more about my story. Even if you've already made that decision and just want to learn more about my story, feel free to ask. Yeah, thanks.
Well, thanks, Phoebe, for sharing and how Jesus has like radically changed your life, and demonstration for us what he can do for us too, and start that relationship with him. So thanks, Phoebe. Hey, let me pray for us, and then we'll call it a morning. So Jesus, we're super grateful for your word this morning. Thanks for encouraging us in worship, for meeting with us here. Thanks for your work in Selah's life and Phoebe's life, and we're getting to hear what you're doing and be inspired. And Jesus, as you have called all of us to go and to make disciples and to baptize, we all have that commission, and we already been given permission from you to do it, and you say, go do it. So Holy Spirit, we pray that Enrich Church will be a church that has baptisms as a normal part of our culture and our rhythm, and that the average people like us, we're baptizing those we're leading in relationship with you, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, would you fill us with empowerment, come upon us, that we would have your power to be effective witnesses? Would you give us eyes to see those in our lives, Jesus, who don't know you, that we'd be able to build a relationship? If we have that relationship, take it to the next step and start praying for them and fasting for them and building those bridges of sharing the gospel and how you've changed our lives. Because there's people everywhere that are so hungry and waiting to hear the gospel. So just ask your protection over everyone here as we go into this week. Thank you, just we're under your blood. Thank you that you put a wall of fire around us, and we ask you be our shield and our sword as we go forward, as you sign a legion of angels to each person's life here and the respective families and loved ones. And I thank you that you're going before us. And would you continue to deepen our commitment and our obedience to you, Jesus. So we dedicate ourselves to you and this week to you, to live for you. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In your name, amen.